Well, let's bring in Jennifer Rogers now. She's a former federal prosecutor in the Southern District of New York, now a CNN legal analyst. And Jennifer, reportedly there are as many as 30 charges in this indictment. We'll know for sure when it's unsealed in a short while. But that has seemed to many to be many more than there'd be just for, you know, campaign finance violations during a legal hush money payment. What will you be looking for when they're unsealed?
Well, I can't wait to see what's in there like everybody else. I mean, the way the prosecutors charge cases, if it's a fraud case, is they usually charge one count for every incident of fraud. So it could be that they're charging falsification of business records and that they have decided to charge one count for each business record ledger entry. So that's how you would get up to 30-something if they put for every single entry, and then also possibly for the checks, the reimbursement checks. They could have charged each of those two as a separate count. So that's how something that seems fairly straightforward gets up to a decent number of counts at the end of the day.
Yeah. Well, we know this case began under current DA Alvin Bragg's predecessor, Cy Vance. Bragg reportedly felt the strongest case was to focus on these payments instead of other business dealings. Although we remember Bragg won a criminal conviction of tax fraud against Trump Inc. and its CFO, Alan Weisselberg, went to jail. But what is your sense as a former prosecutor of this case? Again, we're not seeing evidence, we're not seeing the charges, but what's your sense of it?
Well, if it's what we think it is, and we'll know soon, it's fairly straightforward. I mean, is it the most serious case in the world? No, it's not. But it's a fairly straightforward fraud case, the sort of thing that the Manhattan DA's office and other local prosecutors' offices charge all the time. And when you're a prosecutor, you know, you have to think about this particular falsification of business records potentially impacted an election. So it's a bigger deal than your average one potentially. And you also have to consider, do you let the former president get a pass because he's the former president, or do you say no one is above the law, we're going to treat him like anyone else and go ahead and charge it? Alvin Bragg clearly chose that route. And so it's charged. And, you know, we'll see if other prosecutors charge in some of these other investigations. But it looks like a pretty straightforward, strong case to me. And we'll just see how it plays out during the legal proceeding.
And you're saying that the seriousness of it is that it happened just before an election. It was a cover-up just before an election. It could have impacted the election. That lends to the seriousness. One of former President Trump's legal strategies, we all know, has been to delay. Bloomberg News is reporting his team is considering asking for a change of venue out of Manhattan to more Republican-leaning Staten Island. What do you think of that request? I know it's all just speculation. And what other kind of legal maneuvers might we see?
Well, if he moves to change venue to Staten Island, I do not think that will succeed. The reason that courts sometimes change venue is because of immense publicity, right? You can't get a fair trial because the jury pool is so influenced by all of the press coverage that's happened with the case, that sort of thing. But Staten Island is, you know, right across the way. It's the same media market, the same exact amount of scrutiny and press and so on. So that argument kind of goes out the window. I mean, the truth is, there really isn't any place in the entire state that you could move that wouldn't have had excessive press coverage. So the judge is just going to have to be very careful in jury selection to choose jurors who don't come in with any bias, but they're not going to find a jury where they haven't heard of the case. They don't know of the defendant. That's just not possible. So even if they move for that, I don't think that will succeed. You know, I expect they'll do some other legal maneuvering. There's certainly going to be a legal motion saying if it is charged so that the enhancing crime to make the misdemeanor falsification of business records into a felony is a campaign finance violation, a federal campaign finance violation. I expect a legal motion that is not legitimate under New York state law. It's a somewhat untested legal theory, so the judge will have to contend with that. And there may be more maneuverings as well. I mean, I do think Trump will want to push this out as far as possible. And the judge, on his part, he will understand what's happening. He's on top of things, apparently a very good judge, relatively strict with the schedule. And so he may push back on that and try to keep them to a schedule that's reasonable and not get caught up in all these delays.
Very briefly, these charges won't stop a former President Trump from running for office again. If he's convicted, they wouldn't stop him from becoming president. But the Department of Justice has issued guidance that a president can't be indicted or tried while in office. So very briefly, if this is still going on and he wins, what happens? Very briefly.
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll definitely see a lawsuit saying they can't continue this prosecution of me when I'm president.
Yep.
So, you know, we'll have to see what happens.
That's in the distance. Jennifer Rogers, former federal prosecutor, CNN legal analyst. Thanks so much.
Thank you.